Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra. Joining me is Jesse Hall, as always. Jesse, how you doing?
Is it Saturday yet? I'm ready to go.
Yeah, I know. It's strange. After a bye week, it seems so much longer. But yeah, here we are. Packers got a first round bye. Okay, I keep mentioning it every episode. I just had to. But you know what? We're officially divisional round, so we are past that. This is game week. This is playoff time officially for the Packers. Although, you know, there was a whole round of playoff games last week. We'll talk a little bit on that, mostly about the divisional round. But joining us, a pair of guests. First off, coming back from last week and, witnessing the Browns' glorious victory and, ascension to the divisional round, we have Full Press Coverage Browns managing editor Nick Swanson. Nick, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah, looking forward to playoff game.
Oh, yeah.
You know, looking forward to all the playoff games. I don't know if it's, you know, better. I kind of like the idea of that, you know, get the Packers game first. Hopefully it's a win and you just relax nice and easy the rest of the playoff slates, or just be depressed the rest of the week and hope football brings you back. But really, no, hopefully it's not that option. But first round bye. Someone else knows quite about that, about, their team 2 years in a row in the same situation. Full Press Coverage Chiefs managing editor Braden Holacek. Braden, how are you?
I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me on the pod today, guys. And it's just been fun playoffs. I mean, just to see some teams win for the first time in a long time in the postseason. It's always a good thing to see that. So that's what's made every season for me since I started following the NFL so exciting, is just the parity. So should be in store for another great weekend in the divisional round.
It's all about the killer bees, right? I mean, yeah, the Bills, they're a long playoff drought. The Bucks. I can't remember anyone else. Oh, wait. Yes. Nick, why don't you tell us about what happened on Sunday Night Football?
Wow, you're forgetting about the longest playoff drought in the NFL being snapped?
Maybe I just wanted to let you say that.
Oh, man, let me tell you, I was absolutely losing my mind from the very first snap of that game. It was a lot of ups and a lot of downs, but the Browns have won their first playoff game in over 20 years, and it's just incredible, especially for it to be against a division rival who has players that have been talking a whole bunch of smack online, like before the game, now after the game. It just feels great to shut the Steelers up.
I mean, we know all about shutting up division opponents, but it does feel like the Browns, really, since the return of the Cleveland Browns to the NFL, have kind of been in the shadow of not really having a solid foundation to the top of the organization to really know what the plan is to move forward and have success. I mean, 1994, last playoff win, that was Bill Belichick. And I mean, as we know now, it's really tough to duplicate that genius. Ravens might know that with Ozzie Newsome. Again, sorry, Browns fans. You blame our Art Modell on that. But it seems like DePodesta and, Stefanski at the helm as head coach, that seems like this organization is on the right track.
Yes. Stefanski has done absolute wonders for this team, and I'm just excited. I'm excited a whole lot right now, but I'm even more excited for next season whenever everyone comes back healthy. You get Odell Beckham Jr. back, theoretically. There's been a lot of trade rumors around him, but as of right now, you assume you're getting him back. You're getting Greedy Williams and Grant Delpit, who are two players you expect to be key pieces on your defense, back. So this Browns team will look different next year and should hopefully be better and not massively underperform after this year.
Yeah, I give a lot of credit to the brass there, too. Coming from Green Bay, they got a lot of former Packer upper management. But I think the stability is the biggest thing that team needed. And I think you're finally seeing that. So, they hit a home run in another draft or two. They're going to be a long time, potentially, a name in the playoffs, especially with some turnover in, the AFC North. So it's good to see.
And, maybe some credit does belong to Jim Dorsey setting some of the pieces, some of the foundation before Di Podesta's eventual ascension. I mean, Braden, you know all about that idea, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was certainly a lot of great draft picks that really, you know, kind of turned into this long stretch of really strong drafts for Kansas City, even though it kind of ended on a sour note. I mean, it's a guy that definitely got the Chiefs franchise going in the right direction at the right time.
All right, so the time is now to talk, to get divisional round previews here. And yeah, you got Nick and Braden on. This debate should be interesting here. So as the, you know, as we enter the week currently, and this is what, Wednesday, January 13th, the Chiefs are 10-point favorites against the Browns. So Nick, I'll start with you. Do you think that line fits properly? I mean, it's the highest spread of the week. I think the next highest is like 6.5. So what are you thinking about that?
I'm not surprised, and I do think it's fair because Patrick Mahomes is that dude. Like, he is, as Stephen A would say, he's a bad man. But this Brown secondary has been absolutely decimated by injuries throughout the season. Fortunately, they're getting back Denzel Ward, who's coming off of the COVID list. But this is going to be a offensive battle because I don't think the defenses will, or I at least don't think that the Browns defense will be able to contain the Chiefs offense.
Braden, what do you think of the line? Are you thinking 10's too little, or do you think that's about appropriate?
I would probably say it's about appropriate. I think it's just kind of listening to what the players have said, and Travis Kelce was talking about this on Shannon Sharpe's show about a week ago, just kind of maybe how they're playing board this season in the regular season. And, you know, I don't really follow the NBA that closely, but it's just when everyone kind of mentions the Warriors type of factor with the Chiefs, they just have that ability to turn it up another level. And I think it's just now that they're in the spot where they can really kind of unleash and do what they're able to do at full capacity, and especially getting guys back healthy, I think that makes a lot of sense to me, seeing the 10-point line with, you know, like Nick mentioned, with the Browns defense, especially in the secondary. I just think there's too many options that the Chiefs have to turn to in order for the Browns to maybe keep up in this game.
So, Jesse, last year we saw the Chiefs kind of start slow in all their games and be forced to catch up. Do you see that kind of likely scenario happening, or how do you view the potential Chiefs playoff debut this year?
I don't know if I see that happening, how that happened. That was crazy how it was last year. But, yeah, like, you know, kind of like what they're saying, you know, the Chiefs, they haven't been hitting all cylinders, you know, during the regular season, but that potential is there. I think the line is perfectly fair. But, hey, listen, you got a Browns team coming in that says, why not us, and the world's against us. They have the pass rush to maybe get some pressure, even though that secondary, even though they're getting Ward back, is a little beat up. But Kansas City's defense isn't scaring anybody either, right? So the Browns play a tough game, you know, run the football, control the clock a little bit. I think they can. I'm not going to say they're going to go in there and win because I don't think they can do that. But I think they can keep it competitive. I really do. Patrick Mahomes is a chess piece, right? Like, he is that dude. So, they're going to get theirs. They're going to score. You just got to kind of control the clock a little bit and maybe limit their possession. But I could see a 2-score win.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes is like the queen, but can also do the thing that the knight does and jump around like that. That was the perfect chess piece ever. I mean, Rodgers is like that too, right? Yeah, we like that here at the Packers squad. But yeah, I mean, it's funny that the... Not that he's necessarily the most experienced, but Baker Mayfield's the oldest quarterback in the AFC playoffs, right? I remember seeing that.
That's crazy.
He's like kids to all the NFC quarterbacks, right? Like, it's all the children.
Well, except Goff, but I mean, I guess with his, you know, hand and body breaking down a little bit, maybe a little older than, but yeah, it's it is the interesting disparity of the, you know, the old guard in the NFC, new guard really in the AFC. All four quarterbacks drafted 2017 or later. I mean, three of them are from 2018, so that's that, just that, you know, that draft class in general. I mean, head to head there with Jackson and Allen. I don't know if were there any other points to be touched on at the Browns Chiefs game, or did I just naturally transition there?
I think we've hammered it home. Chiefs are most likely going to win this game, but if we can see a rematch of the last time Baker Mayfield and Patrick Mahomes played each other, then I'd be more than happy with that.
There you go.
That's a college reference, isn't it?
Yes. Yep. The 66-55 or whatever game it was. OU versus Texas Tech.
It's going to be the over. I'll say that. I don't even know what the line is, but they're going to hit the over. That's for sure.
I should have probably threw this out earlier when we were talking the 10-point spread, but I did see this morning that every Chiefs playoff game that Mahomes has started, they've scored 31 points or more. I think they've averaged 35.3 points per game. So that's another thing to keep in mind if you're betting out there this weekend.
56.5 right now for the over under. And so, hang on, quick math, that's 28. That would put the Chiefs at a 33 implied total. So Vegas is definitely buying into that. They'll score 30.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay, so 56.5, that is, you know, that's quite up there. But I guess, yeah, if you expect the Chiefs to score 30 or more and the Browns to keep it close, then yeah, that 56.5 suddenly is attainable for sure. Heck, I mean, didn't the Chiefs score 50 in the divisional round last year? I mean, it practically covered themselves.
Right. Yeah. 28-1/4. So it was. It can happen really fast.
Fast, like Lamar Jackson running. I really want to run to that topic, apparently. But I mean, that dynamic will be really interesting. Obviously, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen aren't going to face off against each other, but the Bills and Ravens squaring off and closer, actually the lowest spread of any game this week. Bills 2-point favorites against the Ravens. I will say the quick talk. I'm incredibly impressed with the Ravens defense. That was probably the worst the Titans offense has looked all year. Like, that was the one offense that really never took a week off. I mean, I don't want to rehash it, but the Packers got completely owned by the Buccaneers and Braden. There was a stretch there with the Chiefs, you know, against some of these heavier zone concepts, kind of struggled a little bit, right? I mean, but the Titans never took a week off, really. And it seems like this was the worst time to have that performance for them. But I mean, kudos to the Ravens defense. Yeah, they really, really forced the issue and really forced them into tough spots. And do we think the Ravens defense can repeat and do the same thing against Josh Allen? Nick, we'll start with you.
I don't think that the Ravens will be able to, or the Ravens defense will be able to keep up with the Bills offense. The Bills offense is top two in the league, and it's only behind Kansas City, in my opinion. I think it'll be interesting to watch Stephon Diggs against, I guess it's Marlon Humphrey. Pretty sure he'll be the one lining up across from Diggs a majority of the snaps. But that'll be a fun matchup to watch because Stephon Diggs, the league's leading receiver this year, against one of the best young defensive players in the league in Marlon Humphrey. I think it'll be a which defense will bend and which defense will break kind of game.
Because just to strictly speak coverage, I mean, we look at the other side, Tre'Davious White ends up probably getting, having to cover Marquise Brown. I think we like that for the Bills, don't we?
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah.
For the Bills, what's the cover option for Mark Andrews? Because that might actually be more important than White on Brown. The Ravens might even be content with just, okay, take out Brown. We'll just look elsewhere and then, you know, maybe take Tre'Davious White out of the game to a certain extent. I mean, if I'm the Ravens, I think that's kind of a smart play. To that point, maybe Tre'Davious White doesn't shadow Brown. They want to keep him involved too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the Ravens passing game is scaring anybody ever. I mean, what do they average? Like 150 to 200 yards passing a game. So that's not their game. They're going to try to do this read option, kind of get Jackson moving the pocket, you know, and run the football, right? I mean, that's their game. You know, if they can get a big player over the top or, you know, sneak Andrews open, so be it. They'll take it. But, yeah, those receivers there are not scaring anybody. It's basically bottling up Jackson any way you can possible, right? Like, even last week, you look at Tennessee, they kind of bottled him up for the most part until, bam, he breaks off that big play, and that was the backbreaker. So you got to take away his big plays and explosive plays from Jackson. That's the major key. You take Jackson away of doing stuff like that, I think the Bills win going away. I don't even think it's going to be close. I really don't.
Okay. Braden, do you think what side are you on? Do you think, you know, closer contest, or are you with Jesse that it could be a blowaway?
I think I'm thinking closer contest. I guess what I do like for the Bills and their defense is they're getting healthier at the right time. They're playing a lot more sound at the right time at all three levels. I mean, you get Matt Milano back at linebacker in the middle there. That's a guy that I think can take away maybe some of those big plays or runs with Jackson. But I guess what worries me if I'm the Bills against this offense is I think you look at J.K. Dobbins right now and even Gus Edwards and that pair of running backs. It's just those guys are getting harder to tackle. They're really physical in between the tackles. And I think when you look at those two running backs, I mean, maybe not considered to be, you know, what they had with Mark Ingram last year. But I think these guys are kind of the X factors maybe in this game that, you know, they're the kind of backs that I think personally have given the Bills the most trouble this year in the running game. So I think that's what will kind of keep it close is those backs along with Jackson.
I mean, I think didn't Clyde Edwards-Helaire have one of his best games of the season against the Bills this year?
Yeah, it was. I forget the yardage. I know it was his best. I think he averaged at least like 6.3 or 6.4 yards per carry in that game.
And I mean, I think Dobbins is a comparable talent. I mean, I mean, before the draft, I had him ranked ahead of Edwards-Helaire, so I certainly think Dobbins is capable of that type of production. And you know, his involvement in the passing game too might be a key there, especially if the Bills are able to successfully bottle up Brown and Andrews.
Yeah, I'm big on Dobbins too. I think that kid's got elite talent. He's going to be a really good back, and he fits that system really good. But yeah, I think we're all kind of agreeing. You know, you got to kind of stop the run early. And if I'm the Bills too, it's like, okay, you know, if we can get them on third and long, you'd rather see that team passing the football than, hey, it's third and three, third and four, and they can do anything, because that's when the Ravens get scary on offense, is when the whole playbook's open.
All right, open to discussion. Does anyone have any other points about the Bills or Ravens that they want to share? All right, none. Nada. NFC time. And yeah, we're going to start with the Packers. Yeah, the Packers fans waiting. 20 minutes in, we will talk about the Packers now. So some news... well, there's, you know, 2 points of news. They're related, unfortunately. So the Packers, you know, in the wake of David Bakhtiari's injury a couple weeks ago, maybe looking for some tackle depth. A loophole, Jared Valdir was with the Colts last week, but because he went through their practice squad and is still technically signed to the practice squad, the Packers could poach him and put him on the active roster, the 53, which they did. So Valdir, now a Packer again. We saw it last year. He did start in the divisional game for the Packers at right tackle. I don't know if that was necessarily the expectation this week. Maybe a bit more, Jesse, but it doesn't look like it's happening now because, unfortunately, it appears Jared Valdir has been placed on the COVID list. Or he has been placed on the COVID list. It appears he may have tested positive. So that plan is now out the window, if there was that plan.
Yeah, wow. Pretty scary, but it looks like last reported that all the tracing and everything is good. The Packers are good there, so hopefully nobody tests positive. But, yeah, that could have been really, really bad, right? So, yeah, he was in. He practiced yesterday, and he was not around today. So, I don't even want to talk about it.
And, okay, so, you know, look to the injury report, some good news. Wednesday's practice. Only, well, you know, Valdir is listed as did not practice, but obvious reasons. But for injury reasons, only two players not listed. Listed as did not practice. Mercedes Lewis, which, I mean, he takes a day off every week anyway. Like, he's earned that this far in his career. So that might be nothing more than that. That we'll have to continue to monitor through the week. Obviously, tremendous blocker and, you know, when needed, can provide plays in the passing game as well. You know, unexpected source, which oftentimes means, or not often, but at times means he can be open for that. But I guess the bigger concern probably with Kingsley Keke dealing with a concussion. And I know they do have Damon Harrison now, which helps that defensive line, especially from a run perspective. That's really Harrison's strength. And let's face it, the Packers' weakness. So, you know, I've been claiming, you know, trying to get a Mike
this weekend.
you know, well, yeah. And I've been, you know, get us a Mike Daniels replacement since he left. I think that feels like that's what that is. A little bit older. But yeah, so Kingsley Keke, who has been having a good season, would like to see him in there, obviously, to give that rotation more depth. But you know, if not, I mean, the Packers, it's, you know, it's been, they haven't really been tested too far with injuries outside of the, you know, the major ones, Bakhtiari. So, next man up anyway. They've dealt with smaller injuries throughout the season and, you know, only three losses so far. Really don't want to get number four this week. Really don't want to get number four at all this year, obviously. On the Rams side, they're dealing with some injuries real quick. Aaron Donald is the big one. Had the rib, appears fracture on a sack of Russell Wilson, and did not practice Wednesday. We'll see that. And Donald's the type of player where he doesn't need to practice this week, and if they feel like he can go, he'll go. So that's one where even if it's a Thursday, does not practice at all, he could still play it. And you know, even if he's 80% of himself, he's still a massive threat that the offensive line really needs to account for. Another big one is Cooper Kupp. Didn't practice with a knee injury. So we'll have to kind of monitor that. And also David Edwards, the offensive lineman, didn't practice. Also, John Wolford at quarterback. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I think after Goff came in and looked all right, I figured he was probably going to get the start anyway. Maybe I'm wrong there.
Yeah, Goff's going to start. I mean, he's been full practice. They're going to have to go that way. It just is what it is. Kiki is kind of, you know, he can't get out of the concussion protocol, so that's not good. It's been, what, three weeks he's been in it, so that's kind of scary for him. Snacks is, in limited play against the Bears, he looked awesome. I mean, he blew up plays, so I think we'll be okay there. But, yeah, I don't know. I got so much to say about this. So, you know, the Rams, you know, all the talk this week and NFL Network, it's like the Rams are their darlings and they're bringing them in and they're this, you know, super scary bogeyman team. They're good. They're a good football team. Don't get me wrong, but we've beaten better teams this year, I think. I don't know. They got a good defense. But yeah, Darnold's not going to be 100%. He's going to play. I'll just say that. He's never missed a game. He's not going to miss this game. That dude, you have to cut off his legs. He'll still play. And he'll still probably get a sack. But he's going to play. Is he going to be 100%? No. I think our line will be okay against him. But, yeah, I think with Kupp, if he can't be 100, and David Edwards, those are big hits on their offense that really isn't that good. Their offense is not that great. They're trying to play up this running game that they have. Akers looked good last week. Come on. They're like trying to compare him to Henry. He's not Derrick Henry. They're not that.
Well, you know, we'll let the guests talk. So, Braden, what do you think about this game in general? I'll just share your thoughts.
I guess first off with Akers, I mean, I guess anytime I hear anybody talk about the Packers defense, they instantly talk about the bad run defense. But I honestly think they'll be okay in this game because I think their ability to score. I just don't think the Rams can run it that often and rely on that for the whole 60 minutes. But yeah, I mean, the matchup between Green Bay's offensive line and the Rams defense, that really stands out to me, especially when you talk about Bakhtiari being out, because I think most of the time you should probably attempt to double Aaron Donald. And this is still a good offensive line, without Bakhtiari, but you just look at what everything, or what all the Rams have at their disposal there. Leonard Floyd's have a career best season after going over there, and Sebastian Joseph Day, he's kind of an underrated guy on the interior, but gets a lot of pressure. So that's the matchup for me that really stands out, because even in the back seven with the Rams, I mean, they just force you to hold on to the ball and make tough decisions or force you to make throws into tight windows. So that's what I'm really excited to watch for, is just that matchup between Packers offense and the Rams defense.
Speaking of the offensive line, quick, one thing I did forget to mention, I really tried to transition to that, bad on me. So the reason, I guess, the Veldur thing is, it's a concern. Obviously, we're concerned for Veldur himself, and you know, like to have, obviously the Packers signed him for a reason. They felt like he could help the team, so his lack is, you know, they don't get that opportunity. But Ricky Wagner, limited practice participant this week. It seems like he'll play. I know he's been dealing with a knee injury the last couple weeks. Getting a start at right tackle in the playoffs, and I didn't get that opportunity too often with the Lions. Sorry, I dig at the Lions every chance I get. That's what happens on the show, folks. So you know, at least he'll be there. There was talk. I mean, Jesse, I don't know what you heard about talk, but there was some maybe rumor, because I mean, Veldur did play left tackle last week for the Colts. Do you think that the Packers were planning to have him as a starter?
No, I don't. I think he was just a good option to swing either way, or what I really kind of agreed with where a lot of talking heads were saying, you know, if Patrick struggled early and they were just getting beat up inside with Donald, you know, maybe they could put him in there and then move Billy Turner inside. So I don't think he was coming in to start by any means, but he was going to be that nice option to have where he could come in.
I mean, I don't know if I'm channeling a bit of Sam here, but I feel like we don't want Turner inside, don't we? I think we'd rather just, I think at that point, like if Patrick's struggling is, I mean, I don't know that Turner wouldn't struggle either.
I agree 100%. I mean, we're going to struggle against Donald, right? Like the guy's just a monster. Like Corey Linsley said that this week, he's like, he's an absolute beast. It's, you're going to have to put two hats on him, slow him down a little bit and get the ball out. So do you make your whole line weaker as a whole just because one guy's struggling?
And the problem is, like, as much as I guess Veldier proved he could still play left tackle last week, I don't know, 2 weeks in a row. But it, again, that's clearly not happening anymore. Wagner at left tackle doesn't seem great. I mean, you could move Jenkins at left tackle, but then I feel like you're ruining the whole point of trying to get better, because then Patrick would be at left guard, right? Like, I just feel that's definitely not an option anymore. I think they're just going to have to deal with any problems. And I mean, Aaron Rodgers, great quarterback. We didn't talk about all the praise to Patrick Mahomes, but very similar style. It's really tough to get those guys down on the ground and stop them from making big plays. So that'll be key there. Nick, what are your thoughts about this game?
I think this will be a fun game to watch. I do think the Rams stack up well against the Packers. But the difference is the Rams are a good team and the Packers are a great team. So the Packers do have the advantage. You've got probably the league's MVP behind that offensive line, which has impressed me this year at times and then let me down at other times. But I think that Aaron Rodgers will have to figure out a way to use Alan Lazard, Equanimeous St. Brown, if they're playing in the game, as well as Robert Tonyan, anybody else, because I think that Jalen Ramsey lined up against Davante Adams will be big. I think that Davante Adams, he won't struggle, but you won't see like the 150-yard, four-touchdown games.
I think, Jesse, unequivocally, Ramsey's the best corner Adams has had to face all year, right?
Yeah, no question.
Except Alexander in practice.
Well, yeah, you know, the other 5 days of the week that they actually go against people.
So, yeah, there's been a lot of games this year where Adams is just getting open at will. I do agree with Nick that I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to be a struggle, and I mean, the one thing is, we know Matt LaFleur, when he needs to, will move Adams around, and I do kind of expect that. So if he moves in the slot, are we expecting Ramsey to shadow him there?
Yeah, so just listening to a lot of stuff this week and doing some research, I'll try to be quick with it. So the Rams like to play a lot of two high safety, right? That's what they do. So they have a light box all the time, and they're good against the run with a light box. But so as good as Ramsey's been in the slot, and Davante Adams tried to hit on this a little bit yesterday too, talking where it's like, why would you share that? But he said in the slot, Ramsey likes to basically trail more, and he has been beaten. Where he gets beat is in the slot. So the way they play their defense, they play a lot of zone, the most quarters in zone coverage in the league by far. But they let Ramsey basically go with number one receivers. So he's the only guy in man coverage. The rest of the team kind of plays this quarter zone. So, you know, if the Packers are in like a 31 or look at something like that where they got three wide on a side, they can put Adams in the slot. I think we can abuse him there, especially if we can get the running game going. Josh Allen, in play action against the Rams this year, he was like 9 for 13 for 150 yards and 2 touchdowns on play action. So you got to win on first down again. I say this every week, and I know it's like beating a dead horse. But, you win on first down, you get, ahead of the sticks, and it's second and short, and you can start doing different things. That makes any defense, I don't care if you're the best D in the league, which right now the Rams are, it makes you susceptible to play action and getting beat and stuff underneath. With the too high safety, we might not get the big plays, but hey, guess what? The Packers have no problem, doing 10 to 15 drive plays, dinking and ducking, working over the middle, getting Tonyan involved, you know, stuff like that. So I also think, you know, the running backs, spread them out a little bit, get Jones out in space. They have no problem with not getting the big splash play. I just think a good game plan, especially the Rams, as good as they are against the pass on first down passing. Sorry, I'm throwing a lot out here. On first down passing, they're actually one of the weaker teams in the league on first down throwing the ball. So they're expecting you to run on that light box. I think, you know, Ramsey going with Adams, getting the ball out to a running back or hitting Tonyan over the middle and picking up, you know, 6, 7, 8 yards on first down is really going to take them out of what they like to do. Again, pressure changes everything too. So it really doesn't matter if you can't protect Rodgers, but that's kind of how I see them attacking this defense.
I know you mentioned in your Know the Foe, like if they are forced to look away from Adams, the height difference between guys like Lazard and Marquez Valdes-Scantling versus Troy Hill, if that matchup, is that something that, you know, in the Bears game, whenever Buster Screen was on, that was the guy they were targeting no matter what, or Rodgers was targeting no matter what, it seemed. And, you know, is that similar with Troy Hill maybe?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, and Hill's not fast either, right? Like, you know, he's not this 4-3 corner. He's a 4-5, high 4-5 guy, where you got guys like MVS and, you know, even St. Brown, who are faster. I mean, you got the height and you got the speed. I mean, we've all played sports or seen sports. You know, that's the matchup you like.
Brayden, what are you liking about this game, particularly about the Packers receivers and how they match up against this Rams secondary?
Yeah, I think it's just the fact that how much they can create after the catch. I mean, you look at just some of the ways that Davante Adams has scored this year on some quick passing plays, and just even MVS. I mean, he's had a lot of plays this year where he's had, you know, 30, 40 yards after the catch. I remember that play against the Jaguars that I saw this year, and that was, like, to me, just something I think, you know, personally I've been waiting to see for a long time from him. So I think it's just the fact that they can out-muscle these Rams defenders, and especially when you talk about a guy like a Troy Hill or you know, even the safety position. I think guys like Taylor Rapp, you know, maybe not tackling as well this season. So I think that's something after the catch that if I'm the Packers, I would feel excited about going into this game.
Now, I want to switch back to the Packers defense. Yeah, I think you all touched on some good points, but we, you know, referenced them earlier in that, you know, Cam Akers is probably the key in that run game, but the run game isn't just extended to Cam Akers. And I do think while the Packers have had some bad run defense performances, they've also really reeled it in terms of the not allowing the big running plays, at least the last half of the season. What kills them though is the short yardage stuff. That's the stuff where they really do struggle. Third and ones, fourth and ones. It seems like unless the team's passing, if they're trying to run on those downs, they're usually converting. And I am worried about red zone, particularly inside the five. But with, again, it's the run game for the Rams, especially in the red zone, isn't just Cam Akers. The way they use Robert Woods, especially, and Sean McVay's got tons of great game plans. I mean, that's where, you know, a lot of it were, you know, is what influenced Matt LaFleur. And so, you know, we take advantage of that with the new head coach for the Packers, and that's great to see that. But this is also the source material for that. And I know Packers' recent history against Sean McVay is not so great. LaFleur hasn't had his chance against him, so that'll be an interesting dynamic. But I am worried about if the Rams get in the red zone, what that looks like, and how the Packers could really struggle there to just keep up with all the different types of motion. And I know that they experienced it in practice enough against the Packers offense themselves, but the way McVay always has these wrinkles in, it's you know, you're worried so much about Akers for a bit, then someone else gets you. Then you start worrying about other stuff, and then Akers can take advantage. And so I think the key for the Packers, don't let them get in the red zone, right?
Yeah, you know, I think Zadarius was kind of said today, and I think the Packers' game plan is make Jared Goff beat you. I'm going to go out on a limb. I think you guys would agree, Goff's probably the worst quarterback still in the playoffs, correct? I mean, he's not scaring anybody. He's not he's decent, but he's got small hands. I had to throw that in there because he always gets knocked for that. He's got a broken thumb with pins in it on that same throwing hand, and it's going to be cold. Him in freezing weather, he's been garbage. You know, just he's been bad, really bad. So the Packers right now are saying, we need to take away this running game and force him to throw that football. And eventually, he's going to make a mistake. That's that's got to be the game plan going in, because like you're saying, you know, if we let them pick up 4 yards a carry, 5 yards, 4 yards, and do all that in time of possession, they're going to hang around and bad things are going to happen. But, you know, if Jared Goff has to come out on 3rd and 8 and make plays, I like our chances.
Braden did mention, you know, yards after the catch for the Packers receivers. I do think that could be a threat for the Rams receivers as well. Guys like Van Jefferson, Josh Reynolds, they're not, you know, they're not Tyreek Hill burners here, but they're, you know, that speed still needs to be accounted for, especially if Kupp doesn't play. Kind of expect to see a bit more of both those guys, actually.
And good tight ends. I mean, they have really athletic tight ends. Higbee and Gerald Everett. Gerald Everett, you know, he flashes. Like, you don't hear a lot, but usually when he's making a play, he's making a heck of a play. So they have weapons, no doubt. I mean, I actually like their pass catchers.
So, Braden, Nick, either of you have any further comments about the Packers and Rams?
I just wanted to throw this stat out there I saw earlier today. I believe it's just for this season, but kind of the clashing styles here offensively. As much flash as kind of we think about with Sean McVay, I think I saw the Rams are last in the league in RPOs used. I think they've used 7 this year compared to the Packers are right at the top of the league. So it's just going to be fun, I think, to see maybe how these teams maybe try to adjust to that or counteract and maybe throw some wrinkles or tricks in there to maybe offset that a little bit.
Because, I mean, it's not as if Goff isn't athletic. Like, he does have, you know, we're not talking, Lamar Jackson speed, obviously, but, like, he does have enough. It's almost, especially with this thumb right now and the lack of throwing, I almost wonder if Goff's a bigger threat on the ground than he is through the air.
Well, even with that, I think, you know, with, you know, the other quarterback not being available, do they want to put Goff in any kind of bad situation? Because their next option is Blake Bortles. So I think they're going to try to protect him the best they can. Or I would, if, you know, that's we're talking here. We're not coaches. But that's what I'd be like, you know, run the ball, try to get the ball out of his hand quick and not put him in harm's way.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that it's going to be a lot of short, quick passes, wide receiver screens, quick slants, plays like that, just to get the ball out of Jared Goff's hands and keep him from getting hit. Yep. But, Jesse, I will say I really like that Gerald Everett shout-out. I'm a big Gerald Everett guy.
He's good, man. He's big play. Big play waiting to happen.
Free agent next year, isn't he?
Yes, I believe so, yeah.
Yes, yep.
Tunyon's an RFA, isn't he?
Yeah, he's coming back.
I would assume so, yes.
Roberto Grande is not going anywhere.
Okay, so Big Bobby to Big Brady, Big Breeze. Those two again, right? I guess actually this is their first playoff meeting. As much as Brady and Breeze have kind of been synonymous through their career, almost as much as Brady Manning. I guess Breeze isn't really one enough to really say that. Never mind. This is his chance, though. I mean, beat Tom Brady in the playoffs. This is something Breeze has never had a chance to do. They're home favorites against the Buccaneers. 3.5-point favorites are the Saints. So this game looks to be rather interesting. So, Braden, what are you expecting in this battle of the really old quarterbacks right now?
It's really going to be interesting to me to watch both defenses, because I just think I just don't know if these are the best offenses for these defenses to go up against. I think there's just a lot that that just mixes in well with these offenses. You look at the Saints and their 2 wins against Tampa this year. I mean, Breeze not necessarily known for beating you over the top. So I was kind of just surprised in that Sunday night game against Tampa how much zone coverage the Bucs ran in that one. Just left a lot of open space on the field for guys like Alvin Kamara. So I think the way the Saints are kind of playing right now, it's going to be a kind of similar feeling that I have for their offense in this matchup. But I also think with the Bucs, I mean, they're starting to get great play out of guys like Leonard Fournette, who stepped in for Ronald Jones last week. And I think you look at somebody like Rob Gronkowski at tight end, I think he's going to be maybe having a chance here to really have one of his better games of the season. And of course, this offensive line going up against a pretty good Saints pass rush. I think there's just so much here that both offenses should feel pretty comfortable with personally.
We did talk up Ali Marpet last episode, so you can go back and listen to that. There's a few rants in there. Nick, did you have any thoughts about the Buccaneers-Saints game?
Yeah, I do think that the Buccaneers will be more explosive offensively this game. They're going to be coming out remembering the fact that they lost both times in the regular season to the Saints team, and in the last matchup, they got flat out embarrassed. So I do think this will be kind of a revenge game for them. I think the Bucs will come out strong early, and I think the Saints will just have to match that offensive firepower and just go back and forth the entire game. So it should be a very fun game to watch.
It's funny, I tried to lead in with the quarterbacks, but you two with your team fundamentals and all that, and now no mention of the quarterbacks at all, which is, but it's true. I mean, it does all start with the trenches. You know, that's, we've seen it, you know, with Tom Brady in his career. If his offensive line, it really isn't giving him protection at all, especially against four-man rushes, not so much against the blitz, that's when he gets in trouble and the offenses don't perform as well. So could be the case here. Did think the Bucs offensive line last week really handled the Washington pass rush really well.
Yeah, for sure they did. I don't know. I think this is going to be, this is the game, like, it could go any way. Every possibility could happen, right? Like, all the other games, I think we're kind of in, you know, the sense of what we feel is going to happen. This one, it could be a 20-point swing either way, or it could be, you know, a shootout, or it could be 13-10. I have no dang idea what's going to happen in this game. One thing's for, like you guys said, you know, the Saints already got two of them. Well, you know, division team, you play them a third time, anything can happen there. But, yeah, it's going to be in the trenches. Both teams can get after the quarterback. Saints defense, you know, they have all the pieces, right? They're going to be in the dome, so it's going to be on a clean field. I guess I just think, as a Packers fan and the Packers, I'd rather have the Saints come to Lambeau in the cold, just because Brady's played in the cold plenty. But I don't know. I don't know which. I think really Kamara is going to be the deciding factor. If, you know, if Tampa Bay can kind of slow him down, granted, you know, he wasn't used much last week, but if he goes off, it'll be Breeze winning. If they can contain him, I think Brady will be in the championship.
I will say I'll take Brady over Breeze in any weather, no matter what, at any point, at any season ever in history. So, like, that's not definitely, I mean, the quarterback side in this matchup, I think, definitely favors the Bucs, but everything else, including coaching, but certainly the you know, not to say that the Buccaneers aren't a great team. Yeah, the offensive line has really been playing well, but, you know, as much as we like to talk up Leonard Fournette, Alvin Kamara, you know, we can mention Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, but Michael Thomas is right there too. So it's maybe Breeze the better setup, but Brady's the better quarterback, I think. I think it's a pretty established fact now. We don't need to really discuss that.
I agree with everything you said, 100% on everything.
But I did want to discuss that question, or the question that you already answered, Jesse, is, you know, we are a Packers pod, so let's look at the Packers perspective. Not saying that I'm just walking past the Rams, but if the Packers do beat the Rams, who, you know, which team seems like the bigger threat? So Jesse's already answered. He would rather play the Saints. Braden, take the Packers perspective. Which team would you rather face in the NFC Championship game, the Saints or the Bucs?
Yeah, I think I would agree with Jesse. I mean, I think on one hand, I think this is a team that with the Saints, to me, I think we talked about it on the live show last week with Ian. To me, I think at times they can get pretty soft. So when you got a physical team up there in Lambeau in the cold, outside, that's not a good matchup to me if I'm New Orleans. And I think Tampa Bay, I mean, you just look at how kind of they played against the Packers earlier this season. I think they just have so much more answers on both sides of the ball to be able to adjust to what the Packers do well with the big plays on offense. And then, of course, defensively, I think there's just so much star power there and in their skill players, stuff they can do to win those tough battles. So to me, I would agree with Jesse. I think the Saints are just a team to me that I think they have a little bit, maybe they're a little bit closer to running out of gas, honestly, here at the end compared to Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I do remember now Braden just constantly calling the Saints soft in our live show on Sportscaster, which we'll be doing this week, certainly Saturday before the game. So check that out, Sportscaster, Full Press Radio Network, and everything Full Press coverage. But Nick, same question for you. You know, if you were the Packers, would you rather play the Saints or the Bucs?
If I'm the Packers, I think I would much rather play the Saints because Drew Brees seems to be on his last leg. As bad as that sounds, this could be it for him. But obviously, the goal is to win the Super Bowl. But that's not it for Tom Brady. The goal is to prove that he's not a system quarterback, that he can win without Bill Belichick. So Tom Brady is on a mission. So I think that is the last person I would want to match up against in a playoff game at this point. So I think the Packers are rooting for the Saints because they have a weaker quarterback. They've got wide receivers that can't stay healthy. They've got a whole bunch of moving parts that basically the Saints' entire team is a question mark week to week. So I think the Packers are hoping that they can match up with New Orleans and cruise their way into the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I love all the down talk of Drew Brees. But I mean, truthfully, it could be as simple as look at the results from this year. The Packers beat the Saints. Really close game. Was one of the Packers' better games, I think, that they played all season. Really, maybe one of their best games. I think probably up until the Titans game, it was probably where just everything clicked constantly. And, you know, in the Titans game, the defense did so much to stop the Titans offense, whereas not so much the case in the Saints game. Obviously, they did put up a lot of points and did kind of keep it close, but you look at the Bucs game. That was the exact opposite. It was the worst the Packers have looked all season, and I don't really think any game they've really looked that close to being that bad, which I'm really hoping is just a blip on the radar. And if they do end up rematched against the Bucs in the NFC championship game, which obviously is ifs on both sides, right? No guarantee on that either will win. But if that is the case, I don't think the Packers will look as bad. But again, having to do this without Bakhtiari is maybe the big issue there. But yeah, we can't, you know, look too far forward. I do think, you know, with the Rams, the threats probably are more in the middle. So this is maybe one game where you're not missing Bakhtiari as much. I think Turner can maybe handle himself a little bit better than he did against the Bears game. Maybe not, but definitely looking forward to that. Looking forward to four great games on Divisional Sunday, Divisional Saturday and Sunday. I know the wild card games were incredibly impressive, especially opening Saturday. We've seen some years the NFL playoffs not so fun games, or you know, all these backup quarterbacks or all this blowout. But really, I think wild card weekend was a success for football. And honestly, part of me, the intrigue of football and just the history and wanting to see significant games, I want to see a Tom Brady Aaron Rodgers playoff game. As a Packers fan, I am afraid of that, but I know, Jesse, you kind of had the attitude. If you had to play the Bucs, get it over with divisional, right? Like, go right into the fire, and you know, if we want to win another Super Bowl, doing it by beating great quarterbacks is the truly great way to say it's a great accomplishment, as much as beating Ben Roethlisberger and Jay Cutler is fun. You know, a Super Bowl of potentially beating Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes, that's quite the reputation maker, certainly for Rodgers. So, you know, rise up to the challenge or take the easier route out with the Saints. Not that it'll be easier, but certainly fun dynamics all around. And hopefully we've done a great job here to cover all that. And of course, with two great guests that cover everything, full press coverage with their teams. Nick, we'll start with you. If you want to let people know where they can find and follow you, and if you want to plug anything as well, feel free.
All right. Thank you very much. So, as Kyle mentioned, I am the managing editor of Full Press Browns. So you can follow us on Twitter at FPC_Browns. All of our articles are tweeted from there, and they also go on fullpresscoverage.com. So make sure and check it out there as well. We have a weekly podcast that gets put up on all major streaming services, so Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, all those platforms. Check us out there. And especially with the playoffs going and with the offseason coming up, just be looking for more Browns content.
And Braden, how about yourself?
Yeah, you guys can follow me at BradenHolacek9 on Twitter. The Full Press Coverage Chiefs account is at FPC_Chiefs. The latest piece that I had come out today on Wednesday was just kind of some under the radar X factors to look for in this game, kind of taking the focus away from the household names we always see, and just kind of not just the X factor part, but just how those guys could be important in a matchup like this, depending on their team. So go check that out. And yeah, we have two podcast episodes usually out each week, Tuesday and Friday. So stay tuned there. And of course, besides just Chiefs Browns coverage this week, I am hoping to get one draft profile out as well. So stay tuned for a potential linebacker draft profile from the 2021 prospects. And that is pretty much it for me on the Chiefs side.
You know, all that great work that Braden and Nick and all of our full press coverage teams do, all that great work could be found in one place, the Full Press Coverage app. That's right, all the written content, all the podcasts, even access to the Full Press Radio Network. You get that in the Full Press Coverage app. Guess what? It's free, folks. Download it for free. Apple stores, iOS stores, Android stores, all the stores. We store it everywhere. But get, yeah, Full Press Coverage app. It's available, and get everything at your fingertips. So, Jesse, here we are, closing in on, you know, the Packers' first playoff game of the season. Nervous, excited, bit of both?
All the above.
And of course, you know, Packers fans, if you want to let us know how you're feeling, feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at @FPC_Packers. Jesse's at @Hall_JHall1212. I'm at Senra Says. And as always, I'll leave it to Jesse. Final thoughts?
Thanks, guys, for coming on. Really appreciate it. Good show. And go, Pack, go.
Yes, absolutely. Braden, Nick, thank you. Jesse, thank you as always. And of course, to our great listeners, thank you for listening to the Full Press Packers Pod.